And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. According to anonymous sources, this is the most popular afternoon show in North America. I love anonymous sources. Once again, Afternoons, though, with Bill Arnold, demanding the highest standards of excellence. You know, I am very excited about today, and I'm excited about each day of the week. I love Mondays. Many don't, but I do. I think Mondays are fantastic. If you've gotten a little rest over the weekend, you're ready to get back to do God's work. And I am always excited about what might happen on every broadcast that we have where people are being reached for Christ, they're being encouraged by the Word, and they're being built up. So I'm excited about that. Dr. Michael Horton is going to be my first guest. He's coming on in just a moment. He's written a number of books, and he can talk just about anything. So we're going to start with him. And then, you know, I love Scripture, so let's get started with Scripture. And if you have the courage to call the voicemail here at Faith Radio and say, I want to leave a Scripture verse for Bill's show, I'd love that. It can be your life verse or a favorite verse or just a verse that you're excited about. Just call. You can leave your name or not. You can just say, here's the verse. And read it, and I'll put it on the air, just like this fine gentleman that left Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 on.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4.
As a student at University of Northwestern, I'm being prepared to be a God-honoring leader in my home, church, workplace, and world. My name is Abby, and I'm a junior nonprofit leadership major at University of Northwestern. College can be expensive, but through the Northwestern Scholarship Fund, I receive valuable scholarships that help me continue my education. Would you consider making a donation to the Northwestern Scholarship Fund? You can help students like me by visiting unwsp.edu/give.
Every Monday, your inbox fills with emails from your kids' school, reminders about upcoming meetings, coupons for your favorite store. At Faith Radio, we hope to provide a steady voice that roots you in truth and equips you to abide in Christ through the new weekly prayer devotional email. Together, we're seeking to build a firm foundation and instill rhythms that bring us closer to God, practices to reestablish our feet. Sign up to receive the free weekly prayer devotional email today at myfaithradio.com.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? Glad you joined me today. My guest, Dr. Michael Horton, is the professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Seminary. He has written over 30 books, and he has a question and answer radio show called Core Christianity. He is the editor-in-chief of Modern Reformation magazine and co-founder of the White Horse Inn, and he is my guest today. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm delighted to have you back. When we talked about your book, Ordinary, which is a fantastic book, I read it cover to cover. You nailed it on that one, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And I got books all over the place from you. I got Rediscovering the Holy Spirit. They're all over.
That's great. And I'm 100% with you on Mondays. I like Mondays, too.
I do, too. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. So, Michael, California, Escondido, you still there?
I am.
Cool, cool. Your kids all well? Wife good? Everything?
Yeah.
Good, good.
They're doing great despite their parentage.
Yeah, and your team, are you happy with your team winning?
Well, you know, now that they left San Diego, it's a little bit of a bittersweet thing.
I get it. I get it. All right. I'm just imagining, author of 30 books, you do a question and answer radio show. If you got seated next to someone at a dinner party and they said, what do? What would you say?
Oh, my goodness. I'm a taxi driver.
All right. I like it.
I shuttle kids back and forth between my wife and I. Besides raising kids, I impersonate a professor at Westminster Seminary, California. I've been here for 20 years and love it.
Yeah.
But you've written
30 books. So if you were going to talk about one of your books, I mean, I do have an agenda for today, just so you know, I'm not completely unprepared. But if you were to talk about one of your books, what would be the book that would be most accessible to that person next to you at a dinner party?
I think Core Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most basic. I also may be putting Amazing Back into Grace, but okay. Core Christianity would be probably the top of the list there.
All right, let's talk about some questions that would pop up on Core Christianity. And maybe something like, does God really work all things together for good?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it doesn't say that all things are good, but it does say that God works all things together for good, and he couldn't do that unless he was in control of all things. And so it really is a great testimony to God's fatherly goodness that he not only creates us, but he provides for us, and he ensures that he will never allow any evil, suffering, or our own sins get in the way of his untiring purpose and grace that he's given us in Christ Jesus from all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how do we seem to mess that verse up a little bit, or misuse it, or not keep it in the context properly?
Yeah, I think one is sort of what I hinted at there, that we sometimes think it means all things are good. So you got to smile all the time and say, well, you know, it must be good because God wouldn't have allowed it. God works all things together for good. God is not the author of evil. But sometimes he does send us suffering. Sometimes he does send us trials. Because as Paul tells us in Romans 5, those trials produce endurance, and endurance hope, and hope does not disappoint. So Christians look at trials differently than non-Christians do. Mm-hmm. We don't see them as just accidents or random, or of course, from our perspective, they are. But I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who had a great illustration for it. You look at a tapestry on the back, and it's just crazy threads that don't mean anything. And then you turn it over, and it's a beautiful landscape. And that's what it's like for God to see things from the perspective of his fulfilled plan versus the kind of tangled threads we often see.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't trust our experience to determine whether God is being faithful in his promises. We have to rely on his word.
Mm-hmm. Michael, do you think seekers evaluate God based on their circumstances, or maybe bad information they got about God from their youth?
I really do, Bill. I mean, if you ask a lot of non-Christians, a lot of new Christians too, as they're kind of learning, getting their land legs. There's this sense that it's karma, really.
Mm-hmm.
You get back what you dish out, and so if you're suffering, or you've gone through a bad spell, or you lost your job, you must have done something wrong, and God is punishing you, and you know, until you figure out what it is and confess it, you're kind of going to, it's sort of a prosperity gospel light
mm-hmm.
that we often embrace because, you know, we're wired for the law. We're wired for you reap what you sow. We're not wired for the gospel, which is getting what we don't deserve.
Right. So, Michael, on your question and answer radio show, Core Christianity, what has been a question that has come up in the last couple of weeks that's sort of gave you more pause and more reflection than the average question?
Ooh, that's a good question. We get some really good questions. You know, one that's just recurring. My partner, Adriel Sanchez, and I just notice this every week is assurance. A lot of Christians, struggling with assurance. And you wonder sometimes what the diet is, their daily preaching and teaching and the way they read the Bible, when there is such an emphasis on looking inside of ourselves to try to find assurance, where we should be looking outside of ourselves. And that's what happens, especially in preaching. We're called outside of ourselves to look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a time where we've been more inward focused, though? I mean, there's such an obsession with how we are coming across to the world and what postings we're putting on social media, and we seem to be doubting our worth and value more than ever in this world. And then I think that translates into, I don't know, is God good with me, or is, you know, what does assurance mean? Does that mean I'm saved, or does it mean, what does the assurance part of this mean?
No, absolutely. I think that here, you know, the doctrine that's most relevant for our lives when we're struggling with all that is justification, that we're declared righteous on the basis of Christ's merits. We have to be saved by works. God's law can't be set aside, has to be fulfilled. But someone did that for us. He not only died for our sins, he lived a perfect life in our place. And all of that gets credited to us. And I think a lot of Christians, you know, they've heard, of course, that Christ died for our sins. But until they realize that he also lived a holy life fulfilling the law for us, people don't get that sense that it's all done. Mm-hmm. It's all taken care of. It's not just that, you know, I have forgiveness. That's wonderful. But I have justification. I am right before God. I have peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's not, he's not talking about the peaceful, easy feeling.
Right.
He's talking about objective peace, whether we feel it more at sometimes than others, an objective peace that is there because of what Christ did 2,000 years ago.
Right, so it's a truth that you need to plant in your heart and then do a cartwheel. Just don't hurt yourself, right?
Right.
All right. Michael, let me take a little break. I love this discussion. Dr. Michael Horton is my guest. He's written over 30 books. One that I like in particular is a book called Ordinary, Sustainable Faith in a Radical, Restless World. If you have a question for Michael, and you might, 877-933-2484. I'd be happy to take one caller or a text at the same number, 877-933-2484. We'll take a short break and be right back. It is 19 minutes after the hour. Dr. Michael Horton is my guest. He is a professor of systematic theology and apologetics, and so far hasn't used a big word that I don't have to fake like I know what it means. So right now, you and I are doing good. I appreciate it. And your website, corechristianity.com, is a great place to go for resources if you want to look over some questions that have been asked to Michael and his response. I think you will love that. One question that popped up, which I know many people here at Faith Radio I've heard from as well, kind of says, what happens to our souls when we die?
Yeah, we get that a lot too on Core Christianity. I think there's a lot of confusion about this. You know, without going into the weeds here, we have a heritage in Western culture of what's called Platonism from Plato. And this is the idea – this is not the stuff that kids play with. This is the philosopher Plato. The idea is that our soul is kind of the divine part of us, and then our bodies are sort of the prison house of the soul. And happily, you know, when we die, that beautiful divine bird, our soul, goes flying upward. And now, of course, in the Bible – when we die, our soul is in the presence of the Lord, even though our body is dead in the ground. But our ultimate hope is not that we'll go to heaven when we die. Our ultimate hope is that we will be raised bodily, this same body that will decay. This body will be raised gloriously in the likeness of Christ. We will be as much like God as Jesus Christ is, according to his human nature. So we share his humanity, just as he shares when he became flesh at Christmas. He became one of us. He united himself to our humanity, and because of what he accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection, we are united now to his glorified humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to look forward to, a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We have very vivid pictures in Isaiah, for example, of a feast, a rich feast with well-aged wine and meat full of marrow. After the resurrection, what did Jesus want? Fish. He was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a real body. He said, look, I'm not a ghost. Do ghosts have flesh and bone, as you see that I have? So we're really going to be raised. And this whole creation that is right now wailing and moaning for its release from sin and the curse is going to be released from that. What a wonderful thing we have to look forward to. I was never good at piano lessons. I can't imagine bouncing on clouds playing harps forever.
Me neither.
A lot of people, I think, have a bad image of heaven because they think, oh, well, it's going to be whatever the earth isn't. No. It's going to be a regenerated earth, a regenerated cosmos. It'll just be glorious. And eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him.
Michael, might God restore the earth back to its ecological innocence?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be even better than that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was trying to figure out a way to ask the question, and I realized halfway into the question I was probably asking a dumb question. That's
well,
so
you
like
know,
me.
That's another approach that we often hear is paradise restored. You know, John Milton, the great poet. But it's even better than that. It's not returning to the beginning before sin. It's something that Adam and Eve never attained. They were innocent, but they weren't confirmed in immortality and blessedness and righteousness because they hadn't fulfilled the trial that God set before them. But our Lord Jesus Christ did. The last Adam did go through that tape at the end of the race for us and for the whole creation. And so because of that, we have a new head who has, as our forerunner, has gone in before us. And Romans 8 is a great chapter for anyone to read who wonders about the real tangibility of this resurrection that we're hoping for and the participation of the whole creation in it.
Mm-hmm. Michael, with the time left, I would love to talk about why it is so important for us as believers and followers to be making progress in the holiness department.
Yeah. Well, no one is united to Christ for just one of his gifts. People sometimes say, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but not as my Lord. Well, no, you either are united to Christ by faith or you're not. And if you're united to Christ by faith, the same faith that clings to Christ for justification, liberation from the condemnation of our sins, also clings to Christ for renewal and liberty from sin. Liberty from the dominion of sin. And one day, when we're glorified, when we're raised, from the presence of sin. And so sanctification is that process of God gradually, by his Holy Spirit, conforming us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the the very imprint of God's being. And that process is often hard. Mm-hmm. That process is difficult. But the thing is, we're not only justified by grace alone, in Christ alone, we're being sanctified by grace alone, in Christ alone. That doesn't mean we don't have any responsibility, but it does mean that the only reason we continue to believe and to repent and to grow in our faith is because the God who began a good work in us will complete it to the day of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Michael, do you think we have a healthy understanding of holiness?
Well, I think we've always had wrong views of holiness swirling around in the church. On one end, you have, okay, here's some big words, but they're pretty easy for listeners to grasp. Antinomianism.
Okay, just lost me.
Anti-lawism. Nomos means law. Anti-lawism.
Okay.
And then, you know, the flip side of that is legalism. And, you know, either make a rule or break a rule. That's the tendency that we often have. And instead of make a rule or break a rule, what we have in the Christian life is, because I have raised you from spiritual death to life, live in a way that corresponds to who you are in Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you really do belong to him. You are a branch of that living vine. And so no longer present the parts of your body for corrupt use,
mm-hmm.
but instead to love and serve your neighbor and to glorify God.
Yeah. Michael, you're such a great resource for our listeners. Where would I best direct listeners to learn more about your work?
Well, I mean, Core Christianity is Core, you mentioned the website.
Yeah, corechristianity.com.
Yeah. Also, if people want to go a little bit more deeply than Core Christianity, that really introductory level book, I also have an intermediate sort of systematic theology called Pilgrim Theology.
Okay.
And I'd recommend people take a look at that maybe.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'd love to have you back on whenever you feel like it, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. Yep. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Dr. Michael Horton has been my guest. CoreChristianity.com is one place to go look and learn more about him and his work. We'll take a little break, and when we come back, Pastor Sean Winters will be in studio. Can't wait.